This is a joint production of Applesauce Kids and Living Word Tabernacle. Remember that there are piles of free downloadable materials at applesaucekids.com. Okay, so let's back up to 7:21. All right. And I find in the law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver? O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, I serve the law of sin. Okay? So there's right. A constant war between the flesh and the spirit.
Yeah.
Always constantly has been. Battling back and forth.
Always will. Right? Always has been, always will.
Always has been and always will be. So what we see is that before we get saved, we're all flesh. Right?
And I disagree that it always will be.
Huh?
I disagree with that statement that it always will be.
Always a
no,
war.
No. I said that we were all flesh before we got saved.
No, but you said the war between the flesh.
Oh, yeah. It will always be.
No, it will always be.
Well,
as long as
you're, heaven,
long as you're
be.
Alive.
Well,
because
when
that's
Jesus
the flesh.
Comes, yes. You go to heaven.
Yes.
That's another dispensation.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's the top four. We're on the bottom floor.
But Paul said that the flesh will war against the spirit against the flesh.
Yeah.
While you're here on
the didn't say for always.
He said for always. He said, unless I change my mind, he said, I ain't changing my mind.
No, but you're right. When Christ comes, that changes it. When you go to heaven, that changes it.
Okay? When you die, it changes.
That's right. But here now.
Well, I understand what you mean.
Yeah.
I know you do. As long as you're alive, Papa, it's the world war in there.
So before we get saved, we're all flesh, there is no spirit in us. When we get to heaven, we're all spirit and there is no flesh in us. So the entire situation reverses, right? So what you see is from the time you get saved, you grow in the spirit until you're all spirit in heaven. And the control that the flesh has now reduces over time until the time when you get to heaven where there's no flesh. Okay? So your flesh goes down over time from the time you get saved, and your spirit gets strong and becomes dominant. Okay? And that's over time. And the way you do that is by putting the word inside of you. By putting more word in you, you put more spirit in you, you become stronger in the spirit. Right?
And then obey the word.
And then obey the word. Good point. And we're getting ready to talk about that.
Huh.
Oh, actually walking in the word and actually obeying the word. Good.
Well, that's what Paul says. He said, I myself serve the law of God. That's the real man. That's the spirit man in
yeah.
me.
Okay.
He said, but with the flesh, the law of sin, he said, the flesh can get mad. The natural man get mad. And might tell people, might say things they shouldn't say, and things like that, might repent for it. He said, but that's the law of flesh.
That's right.
And he said, so I serve God with the law of the spirit, man.
That's it. All right.
And so, like you said, Phil, the longer you're saved,
yep.
the more the spirit man rules the flesh, the longer you serve God. Because you go through so many situations of growing, heartaches, broken heart, family disappointments. People die that you just can't figure out why, just don't feel it's fair at all. And then as you go through that, without realizing it, you're growing in the Lord. And the reason I'm saying without realizing it, you don't realize it too much later. And somebody else starts to go through it, and they just don't think they can get through it. And you just pat them on the back and say, let me buy you a cup of coffee. Let me explain something. You can do it. I did this. It's really hard, so I know you can do it. So what you went through, which is a tough experience for you, can later down the road be an encouragement to somebody else to get ready, go through it, and they say, well, you know, people blame God for sicknesses, for example, which it ain't God, and said, well, why is God letting that cancer get on my spouse or on my children or on my parents or on my best friend or something like that? And not knowing, and you say, and then you can sit down and say, wait a minute, I used to believe that too, and I used to find that like that. But here's scriptures that says this. So when you go through a period of tribulation time with something like that, you'll come out stronger if you just keep on hanging in there with God. And maybe a few years down the road, you might be the vessel that God uses to encourage somebody else to get through it. But there's a lot of people that's jumped off bridges or killed herself because they say, it just ain't worth it. It just ain't worth it. And if they could went, if they had somebody to put their arm around them and say, come on, pal, you can make it. Let me explain this to you. Let me help you make it through there. And things like that, then they could, in turn, help somebody else.
Let me ask you a question. In the Bible, it's a sin for us to...
Do what?
In the Bible, it's a sin for us to commit suicide or kill ourselves.
Not necessarily. And that means, what you're saying, I agree with 100%.
Here's what I was saying. Suppose you're a Christian, and you have terrible health. You're slowly dying, and you've got no life at all. And you look up and you say, I want to end this right now because I'm a burden to my family and a burden to them and a burden to everybody else. I wonder if that's still a sin.
Well, I sure wouldn't take a chance on it. And the reason I'm saying this, I say two things. If you're a Christian and you had a mental illness and you run out from a tractor trailer and got killed, this is what I'm saying, not necessarily a sin. If you did that, and people say, well, that's a sin. He's going to hell because he says, I should not kill. I should not murder. He murdered himself, and so therefore he's got to go to hell. No, that was a sickness. And a guy might have thought, or the woman might have thought, or whoever it was that run out from the track of travel might have thought, oh, here's come daddy in the truck. And run out to greet daddy, and the truck runs over. That's not suicide, but... You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's a mental illness.
Yeah.
But
I'll tell you a story.
If you're in your complete right mind, you don't want to do that.
I know. But here's why I said that. Because when I was down this winter, the 3 weeks before I had surgery, I was in so much pain.
It'd be real easy to do it.
And I actually told one night, I was in so much pain one night, that I told my wife, go get my gun. And then, of course, she called me. Ambulance 911, and the ambulance coming. I went to the hospital, and I told her after it's all over. I said, I guess I was just delirious. I was in so much pain. I was just delirious.
Absolutely.
I didn't know what that. I didn't.
You didn't think it through.
I didn't think
it
through.
Because you couldn't.
Yeah.
See, I know when I got.
And so I know where people. When I hear people saying, "I want to kill," I know where they're coming from. Now.
I do too, Earl, because there's many days.
I know.
That I wished I'd died. I've actually wished I'd died. I was in so much pain.
I put my hand
here and couldn't even see it. All I could see is a zillion black dots. I never knew. I always thought it was an expression when they said blind in pain until that happened. And I couldn't see my hand right there. It was just everything's black. It was that much pain. I didn't think anybody could stand that much pain. But I'll tell you what, God got you through that. And he got me through that, which is evident that God's God, and he won't put more on you than you can handle. But you just don't know what you can handle until you're really tested.
He put a load on me for a while.
Well, Satan put the load on you, but God got you through it.
Yeah. I had people, I know sir, my wife would say, so-and-so wants to come over and see you tonight. And I said,
no.
I said, I don't want to see anybody. I said, I don't want to feel... I don't think a lot of them. It's just that I'm in so much pain and I wouldn't enjoy it. So,
anyway. One night my brother Doug was here and I was hurting so bad and I was on Valium, the strongest one. And I took the Valium and didn't even touch it. And at that time, Dr. Gallagher was alive. You remember him real well, Jim. And he prescribed it to me. I didn't know that it was dangerous. I didn't have a clue. So I took another one, and it wasn't doing nothing. Well, you got to wait to let it kick in. And I guess I didn't wait. I took four Valium. And I couldn't sit up. I was laying flat on the floor. I was just in so much pain, I couldn't move. And all of a sudden, they kicked in and knocked me out. I mean, they knocked me out. I didn't know it. And the next morning at 11 o'clock, I woke up. This is like from 7 o'clock at night. So when I went back to Dr. Gallagher, I told him, I said, they weren't working on me. I said, I had to take four before it worked on me. I said, but then it put me to sleep. I slept like 14, 16 hours. It's scary. Don't do that. Don't do that. He said, you could kill yourself with four Valium.
I took 190-something Percocets in less than 3 weeks. And that's what the nurse told me. He said, you'll be dead. And I said, no. Or drugging. I said, neither one. I said, it really didn't kill the pain. All it did was kind of maybe knock it down or deadened it a little bit.
Brought it down from a 10 to an 8.
It brought it down from unbearable to almost bearable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know.
So.
But when somebody that's a Christian, especially, this is my opinion now, somebody that's a Christian and says, I want to kill myself to get out of this pain, God makes a way. God says, Sharon, call the ambulance. You know, keep the God in the garage, but call the ambulance. Yeah. God makes sure that you got a way of escape every time Satan comes and bears down on you.
And when I hear people, you know, before I always thought, that's crazy. I'd say that's crazy, you know, because I've never been in that position before.
Yeah.
But then when I got in that position, man, I can see where it was coming from.
Very easy.
I've always heard that to commit suicide is you commit murder. And you're dead, so you can't ask for forgiveness, so therefore you're not forgiven.
Yeah, that's why I thought I read in the Bible somewhere where it was send it, commit suicide, take your own life.
But I agree with Pete. There's some people who just sit, mentally ill people, stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's a sickness.
Yeah, they honestly don't know what they're doing.
No. If you can die of cancer, you can die of a mental illness like that that kills you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, you can be a Christian, die of cancer, be Christian, die of diabetes, or a whole bunch of other stuff, strokes. So if you're a Christian, and and for some reason you became a mentally ill patient, don't know where you are, who you are, and you run out in front of a Mack truck, or if you had a gun, and follows a toy, and shot yourself.
This old lady lives over there, she's 86 years old, and you probably heard me talk about it. She has lung cancer, bad, never smoked. And about 8 months ago, they gave her 2 months to live.
She fooled them, didn't she?
And you know, I went over her house, and I still go over. When I walk at night, so I'll stop in to see her. Because her husband died not too long ago, too. He was really a nice guy. And I talked to her, from hanging there. I said, you're going to be all right. And I said, you know, them doctors might be wrong. I said, they might be wrong.
They are wrong. They said 2 months.
Said, well, guess where she is tonight. She's at my house tonight. Yahtzee night, they play cards, all the women. And she's out there at night. And she come in and she give me a hug and says, hi, Earl, how you doing?
Attitude will keep her.
She looks great. And I went to see her. And I told her, hang in there. I grab her and I give her a big hug and kiss. I said, hang in there, man. You're going to make it. You're going to do all right.
Yep.
And I tell you what.
With that attitude, she will.
Yeah. And here it is now, 8 months? And She doesn't even look like she got cancer now.
Yep.
She probably doesn't.
Yeah, it's true. And you know what she told me? She says, because we talked the other night, she said, by my leg, she says, when are you going back to the doctor? I said, I'm not going back.
Yeah, you look like you're doing good there, man. Yeah.
And so then she says, I'm not going back either. She says, she was on chemotherapy. She got off of that. She's been off chemotherapy now, I don't know how many months. And she got off all that stuff. And well, she's looking good.
And she's feeling good.
And she's feeling good. And her mind is great.
Yeah.
And I told her, I said, hang in there, Ed. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. Hang in there. Yeah. And she looked pretty good.
Yeah.
And probably when God calls her, she just lay down and go to sleep.
Yeah.
And that'd be it.
Yeah.
That's the way to go.
That's it.
Yeah, I went to a friend of mine. He works at Bosco's, but he went to school to be a personal trainer. We're good friends. And I went up to him, and I hadn't seen him since I've been sick. And he gave me a big hug, and he says, and I explained to him my problem and everything. He says, I'm going to write up a program for you to strengthen this and this and that. And so that's my therapy.
Yeah.
So,
but
I am getting better.
All that them years he's been your friend, you never see him as a friend that you're going to appreciate him doing that for you sometimes, because you never thought you'd ever need anything like that. But when the Lord puts people together, here it comes years down the road, and all of a sudden he has an opportunity to do you a favor.
There's two kinds of friends. There's
real
friends and there's convenient friends.
And
friends, you look after and you help.
That's right.
Just like I'm an old man, she's a great friend. I do anything for
her. Yep.
And that's what you got to do. Yeah. I mean, not oh, I know him. He's so-and-so. I know him. That's fine.
Hmm. Yeah. The Lord lets you know. You'll feel it.
Yep.
He'll point out things to you. Watch that. That's not right. When the Spirit of the Lord is in you, you'll get them little warnings. There's little check marks. Watch that. That didn't sound quite right. Wonder what he's up to.
Yeah. Now, how do you get to that place? My point is, you get to that place by actually working on receiving the Word. Right?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Now, if you don't actually work at receiving the Word, okay,
you're going to go to the cleaners.
That's right. So if you're saved and you don't actually take the time to read the Word or to watch Christian television or whatever, you know, where they're preaching to you and everything, if you don't do those things to build up your spirit, what's left? The flesh. Right?
Yeah.
So the flesh wins. So what does the flesh lead to?
When the flesh wins, you
destruction.
Sin and death, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, and that's what Galatians 5 says, right? That you have to deny the flesh and receive the Spirit and grow in the Spirit, right? So that requires that you do action. Right? You must do something. If you're hungry and you don't eat, whose fault is it?
If you got food and you don't go get it, it's yours.
That's right. If you got food and you don't eat and you're hungry, it's your fault that you're hungry.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
If you don't feed yourself, you're not gonna be in good physical condition.
If you got just a little bit of this in your mind, even though you talk about the flesh, a little bit of this in your mind.
Yeah. It helps a lot.
It'll tell you.
Yeah.
And you'll see it.
Except in Pete's case. He blamed Pee Wee for not leaving him enough.
And she'll give me more chalk.
But it'll tell you. Your mind will tell you.
It will.
This is wrong. You should be doing this.
That's right.
You should be doing it.
That's
me.
The spirit man.
It does
you.
Me.
That's right.
And I'll say, and it's almost like I'm talking to myself.
That's it.
You should be doing this.
That's right.
You shouldn't do this. You shouldn't do this.
And you don't need somebody else to tell you that.
That's right.
Because that's the spirit man in you. That's coming right straight from the throne.
And that's true. Right. They're telling you. Right away, then you know that you're worth saving.
Oh, yeah.
Because the man's looking at you, you're worth saving.
Yeah.
That's right. But God said his will is that all be saved, right?
Oh, yeah.
So God's will is that everybody's saved.
But everybody won't be because they don't choose it.
They don't choose it. And once they get saved, how many Christians do you know of? Between the group of us, we know a bunch of people who say they're Christians, right? Of all of the people we know, how many of you believe 5% of them are really serious?
You might be a little high there.
Might be a little high there.
Yeah.
Well, when they took the survey, they said there's only 4% of the people in the world that's Christians. 4% of people in the world.
Yep.
And they said out of that 4%, there's probably maybe half of them that's really sincere, solid.
But don't say in the Bible that the last days only what, 12? How'd I read that now? It's been a while. Only 12 tribes or 12 something are going to heaven.
Well, that's the 12 tribes of Israel. That's the 12 sons of Jacob.
That's going to heaven.
But that's,
in other words, it's going to be it's a lot of room up there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but that 12 tribes is the 12 sons of Jacob, which has changed his name to Israel, and that's where the nation of Israel comes from. They had all the different, well, I'll say counties that they divided all up into amongst the children, his children, the men.
Yeah.
Yeah. So and it does say that it says there was 144,000 from each one of
the 144,000, that's the word I'm looking for.
But the 144,000, the reason... The reason they said that, Phil and I just talked about the number of thousand before anybody comes. Back then, the highest number, like when you was in school, you never heard the word trillion.
No.
It may be billion. Maybe billion.
That was rare.
But millions you could have heard of.
Yeah, millions.
But back then, the highest number they knew was 1,000. So there was 12 sons of Jacob. So when they started talking about how many people was going to heaven, it said there would be 1,000 from each tribe times 1,000. So that was 1,000 from each tribe was 12,000 times 12. 1,000. So that was that's where 144,000 came from. But then right underneath that scripture, it said there's so many it was innumerable because they could only count to 1,000 back then. That was their highest number. So then it says right underneath that scripture about two scriptures past that. He said it was innumerable.
Yeah.
And that's the only way they could say it. They couldn't say it was going to be a zillion or million or billions. Yeah. They said it's innumerable.
True. That's true. Yeah. I never thought it that way, but that's true.
Yeah. So now that we could say there's going to be 12 zillion times 12, I mean 12 trillion times 12 trillion, because we know the trillion number because of the national debt.
Yeah, it was more.
and they say it could be that, so we could say there's going to be 144 trillion there instead of 144,000, which means it's just innumerable.
Yeah.
Because we couldn't number 144 trillion, and they couldn't number 144,000, so they said it's just innumerable.
Yeah. All right, so Ron, verse 6 through 10, please.
Wait a minute, it's got to be 1 through 5.
I read 1 through 5.
No, you've read 21 through 25.
Now we're
oh, that's right. I did.
We're in chapter 8 now.
We're in chapter 8. I'm hallucinating. Don't
worry, man. That's what I thought.
No, you're philonating. You're philonating.
I'm philonating. Okay. Verses 1 through 5. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yep. My bad.
That's the one you read.
I read the bottom here of 7. Yeah.
So now you're restarting
at 8. Now you're starting at 8.
Phil read a couple of verses of it, then he... Backtrack.
Yep.
Side rabbit trail.
That's right.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit.
Okay, so what did we just talk about? Spending time with God, right? You want to grow in God? You want to be serious with God? What do you got to do? You got to mind the things of God. So in verse 4 and 5, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Right.
So but whose choice is that? That's your choice, yours. Whether you walk after the Spirit or not, right?
We were just talking about that, yeah.
Okay. In verse 5, it says, for they that are all after the flesh do mind what? The things of the flesh.
That's right.
But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So what is this? So you have a choice. You can follow the flesh or you can follow the Spirit.
That's where your free will comes in.
That's where your free will comes in. But it says here that God's will is that you follow the Spirit, right? Isn't that what he just said?
Right.
So, whose fault is it if you don't make it?
Your own fault.
Your own fault. If you don't spend time in the Word, if you don't...
Walk the walk.
And talk the talk, right?
Pray, talk to the Lord. That's right.
Spend time with God. It's nobody's fault but you. Right? So you have to make a quality decision. See, I can make a decision. I can say, okay, you know, next week I'm going to be an astronaut. I'm going to go to Mars. Right?
Yeah.
But is that a quality decision? That's just ridiculous. Because nobody's going to Mars. Nobody's been to Mars, right?
Not next week.
And it'll be many years before anybody actually does it. Right?
Well, I can see you don't watch the Sci-Fi Channel.
He missed it.
I can see that.
But there's a difference between the Sci-Fi Channel, which is a lot of fun, and reality, though.
Yeah.
You know, and this is all about reality. So it's about making quality decisions, realistic, reasonable decisions. And the realistic, reasonable decision is, if you don't put anything in, you don't get anything out.
That's right.
That's anything you do.
Huh?
That's anything you do.
Yeah. You want to be a carpenter,
yeah.
But you never go to carpentry school, never learn how to be a carpenter.
Can't drive a nail, can't be a carpenter.
That's right. I mean, if you start beating on nails, and all you're doing is bending them over, man, then you need more school.
Yeah, your apprentice.
So that's what it boils down to. Your free will. It's up to you. Saying you're a Christian and not living it and not walking it doesn't, you know, just denies what you say you are. It makes a liar out of yourself.
Oh, yeah. Even when they're saying they're a Christian, it's like girls said a while ago, you know, if they ain't doing the things that lines up to the Word, you watch them. Because, you know, when you're saying there's friends and then there's fleshly friends,
yeah.
One's the givers and takers, and they want what they can get from you.
Yeah.
And they're not going to be there when you need them. But in that verse 5, it said, for they that are after the flesh, they mind all the fleshly things. They don't mind no spiritual things.
That's it.
And they that are after the spiritual things, they mind all the spiritual things. They do what the Lord wants them to do. So all them people, like you said, small percent, church, Christians,
yeah.
and on the planet is Christians.
Yeah.
The Christians are the ones that's really minding the things of the Spirit. You don't have to judge them. You don't have to say, oh, you're a Christian, you're not a Christian. You know, and you know that for your protection. You don't know that to judge them. You know that to, you know, give them room. Like I said, there's two hellos. There's hello, and there's hello,
yep.
You know? And you got to know which one to use at what time.
That's right.
If they're not minding the things of the Spirit, and that's like we're always saying about the friends, some that will help you and some that wouldn't help you. That when you need help, they don't know you. So they're just an acquaintance is all they really are. And they're acquaintance and they're the things of the flesh. They're not going to be there to help you when you need it.
Why does God correct you?
For your own benefit.
For your own benefit, right?
Yeah.
Does it help God?
Why do you correct your kids?
That's right.
For their benefit.
For their benefit.
Make
right?
them a better person.
That's right. So we're the children of God, right?
Right.
God corrects us for our benefit so that we grow and be strong in the Word, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. He does it because he loves us.
He does it because he loves us, right? So, as we grow,
why
we should set those standards for the people around us.
He has to love us, all the headaches we'd caused him.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Mm. So, that's one way of looking at your own personal walk. The Word says that if you judge yourself, you are not judged. Why?
You judge
because
yourself
if you're smart,
by the Word.
Because if you're smart, you really judge yourself severely.
And line up.
That's right. You make sure you line up. Because you
lights,
know the consequences.
The light's blinking.
Watch him.
I've had it happen. I know, I've been there.
He's even put dead batteries in it.
Yes, that's right. That's right. That's the only thing that stuck up on me a couple of times.
And
but that's all right, I'm learning how to use it. Because I spent time with
photography. So if you got any light bulbs at your house that burns out, save it for him.
A what?
Light bulb.
Light bulb that burn out.
Yeah, he's building a dark room. Right? He's building a dark room, so he's got his burning light bulb sitting in the or
the photo. I haven't heard that one. That's good. That's good.
You know, you're in your lot when you're rural country, when you're rural around.
That's right. You know, it's like those guys who go to the sun.
See,
right?
God likes a good joke every now and then.
That's right.
God likes a good joke every now and then.
I think so too. I believe it.
I know he likes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 jokes.
Yeah, I believe God has a sense of
humor. He has a sense of humor.
Oh, he's the best. And we better thank him for it.
Yeah, that's a good thing. But, you know, it's like those astronauts that go to the sun, though. They go at night where it's cooler.
Oh, yeah. Take the temperature.
All right. So that took us down to 5. Okay, who's the Pete?
Yes.
6 through 10, please.
For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. It shall be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is not of him. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Amen.
Oh, there's some strong stuff here.
Oh, boy.
Verse.
That's a biggie. They're all biggies.
Verse 6, it says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Ooh, we got to take a side trip. Galatians 5. Now, I'll read this. I'll read it. Move it along here a little bit. Galatians 5. We'll take a little side trip.
What chapter? 5. Still chapter 5.
Are you going to 5:16?
What verse?
5. I'm going to start at 5:13. Everybody there?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, Galatians 5, starting in verse 13. It says, for brethren, we have been called to liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh.
Amen.
But by love, serve one another.
That's right.
So, simply because you're saved doesn't give you reason to walk in sin.
No.
Right? Okay. Verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
I think that's what Earl said 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. But that word love is really powerful. That means that you have to walk the walk. I mean, you got to be serious about this.
Yeah.
You just got to figure everything. Is this love what I do? Is this love what I did? Or what?
That's right. And he's about ready to explain it here. It says, verse 15, but if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another.
That's right.
Arguing, quarreling, getting one up on another guy. Okay? Verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
That's right.
So if you're constantly arguing and fighting and trying to get over on other people and all, what's wrong? You're walking in the flesh.
You're walking in the flesh.
You're walking in sin, okay? Verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would.
Yep.
Want to know why things aren't working
that's
for
the
you?
War that Paul talked about.
Yep.
The Spirit wars against the flesh, and the flesh wars against the Spirit.
Want to know why things aren't working out for you? Why God's not helping you? Well, there you are.
Take a good look at the way you're living.
That's it. That's it. And it doesn't have to be everybody. You could be in good stead, walking the walk with everybody except for one.
But
you know, this is for you. This is how you're supposed to treat everybody.
Well, yeah.
Who's God trying to get to heaven?
You.
You. Right? This message is to who?
You.
You.
This is a letter right from heaven, right to you.
This is a letter from heaven for you. If you don't do this,
it's directions.
That's right.
That's it.
These are the directions. If you want to get to heaven, if you're serious about following Christ, then you are responsible to do this.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you know what Papa said is to take a look at yourself, check yourself. The biggest, one of the biggest things that Christians fail on a lot, they're looking at what's wrong with somebody else.
That's it.
And then, don't judge somebody.
And Jesus said, hey, pal, you can't see how to take that toothpick out of their eye until you take the tree out of your eye.
That's it.
Yeah. I've said this a lot of times before here, that what Jim Baker, the Lord told him, you know, he was complaining about people, and God told him, he says, you love them, I'll judge them.
Yep.
Sound like something Shirley say.
You love them, I'll judge them.
That's the serious stuff there. Verse 18. And it says,
you do your job, I'll do mine.
Yeah, right.
Verse 18. But if you be led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresy, envying, murder, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So, he's giving you the rule. He's told you what you need to do. It's up to you to do it. And if you don't, whose fault is it?
He even broke it down right down into categories.
Oh, yeah. Let you know that if you say, well, I didn't do this, they did that. Say, oh, well, look at the next word. You did that, and they didn't do it. So you're as guilty as they are.
Mm-hmm. That's right. You know it and don't do it. Whose fault is it? Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and lust. And if you live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. This is where the whole saying, you have to walk the walk, not just talk the talk. There it is, right there. And let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another.
Right.
Whose fault is it?
Ours. The individual.
Right? Who is God trying to get to heaven? Each of us.
Well, and a lot of these people, that last one that you read is a real big one. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. Man, you can see that. It's pitiful. I think it's criminal. You'll see church people go, they're not going to sit with you because they're so much better dressed. They're sitting over here on this side, and they're sitting on the piano side because that's where the well-off people are. And the other people sitting on the organ side or the right-hand side because that they feel poorish. They don't feel good enough to sit with those people. If you're a Christian, you're every bit important to God as the best-dressed person on the planet.
That's it.
Regardless how poor you are.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of that in there.
You'd be surprised that really happens.
Every week there's a fashion show in a lot of churches.
That's right.
And it said, let us not be desirous of vainglory. And they go there because they want the people just to, oh, look at them. Oh, they're so wonderful. Oh, look at that big car they drive.
Look what she's wearing.
Oh, yeah. And they live in that big house down there. Or if those people's talking to you, and say, oh, well, thank you for coming today, young lady. They just kind of touch your fingers a little bit and say, I'm Miss So-and-so or I'm Mr. So-and-so. And I live in the big house down on the big street people, you know. They introduce you, let you them know that they're just straight up here above you. Yeah. And they have to look down to see you. God ain't in that, and he does you. I don't like it.
Yeah. Well, sometimes poor people are guilty of the same thing in a different way.
Oh, yeah.
What makes them park their Model T in the back of the church while the guy's parking his Cadillac in the front of the church?
Yeah.
Pride.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. I so, heard that. That wasn't original.
No. That's good, though. I mean, it's like maybe I ought to be over here instead of up there, you know? I can't teach a Sunday school class. I'm not dressed fancy enough. You know? And when it's true in a lot of places.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, I like what Joe Osteen says when he's on TV. He said, we don't like to close our show without giving you an opportunity to come to the Lord. He don't say rich, poor, race, nothing. He just, I want to give you the opportunity to come to the Lord. He said, just say the simple prayer. Lord, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, come into my heart. It's all done. It's that simple. You say that, you're a Christian. If you say it, you mean it.
Yeah.
You don't matter if you're Cadillac Jack or if you're Joe Pumphandle from Niagara Falls. You're driving an old Model T. It don't matter. Don't matter. God's still God.
Yeah. You know, that's one of the biggest setbacks to the Lord, I think, is the fact that it's so simple, so easy, yeah, that most people, you know, miss it. They're looking, yeah, for something else. They miss it. They say, oh, it can't be that easy. It can't be that simple. Yeah. It's got to be a whole
They think they got to earn it. And it's a salvation, a free gift to God.
It's a free gift. But, you know, sometimes the worst enemies are the ones inside of you.
Oh,
you,
yeah,
know, inside of each one of us. Yeah. And I don't mean to be particular, but...
Well, you're just letting that pop, but that's okay.
But the enemy, see, these things that are here that we're just talking about, those are the things that come from inside of each of us, right?
It's the flesh.
It's the old flesh that's still there.
Raises all over the head once in a while.
Yep, and it's something else that needs to be taken out. You know, you want to know why, you know, this isn't working for you, that's not working for you? Because you haven't cleaned the house, you haven't cleaned your house enough yet.
Well, you know, I've known that character for a lot of years.
Yep.
And I learned to like him after a lot of years.
Yeah.
Or tolerate him. But I would get up 5:30 in the morning to go get my hair cut from him.
Yep.
The barbershop's open all day, you know, but I knew which day he was going to be there, and I'd make sure I'd go that day. Always make you laugh. Always pick you up. You know? Always got a story to tell you. 5:30 in the morning, 6:30 in the morning.
I hope it's not like the stories you tell.
Oh, yeah. That's why I went there. That's where I learned on Friday. But you know, you need that too. A laugh. Yeah. Where the Bible said laughter is good medicine. And I don't know if I said it before or not, but I remember a true story where this Jewish guy...
Well, laughter is better than a lot of medicine.
Oh, yeah. The Bible says laughter is good medicine.
Yes, it is.
The other is just medicine.
That's right.
And a Jewish guy had cancer. Doctor said, man, you're dying. Case closed. You ain't got long to live. This Jewish man, the thing that made him laugh the most was the Three Stooges. He just loved them.
Yep.
Loved them. And lived in California. True story. He went and got all the tapes that he could get of the Three Stooges, just simply read that scripture where it says, laughter's good medicine. Make a merry heart and all. He got all back then it was the tapes, whatever.
Yeah.
Called them.
Cassette.
VHS.
Yeah. And he went and locked himself in a motel room for 2 weeks and watched them and just laughed himself simple.
Laughed himself well.
And he was healed by just not listening
to
Satan.
That's a proven fact.
Yep.
I heard that story before.
And the whole thing was, he wasn't giving Satan no place to the doctors or to his best friends saying, you know, I'm really sorry to hear about your cancer. Really sorry. Because then when they see your cancer, they make it personal. And cancer is a disease. It's not yours. It's a disease of Satan's. And he laughed it right off. Come out, went back to the doctor, got checked because he felt so good, and told the doctors what he did, and they recorded that. I mean, it's written, it's history.
Yeah, I remember reading that.
Yep. And a Jewish guy, he didn't know nothing about Jesus, didn't believe in Jesus.
Yeah.
But he believed the word that he read.
Yeah. He turned just like that.
Yep.
There are three words and turned.
Locked himself in that motel, wouldn't talk to nobody, wouldn't hear nothing negative.
Yeah.
And just laughed and laughed and laughed. So it's attitude, like you said about your neighbor woman, and just like you're getting healthier all the time.
My wife helped me on that because I was down on myself a lot. She would say, you got to change your attitude, change your attitude, change your attitude.
And that's the medicine.
And that's the medicine, that's right.
Yeah.
Can't let the devil in. Can't let him have a niche.
Can't let him have a get in the playroom.
Or you can't have a foothold.
Yeah.
Mr. Pete, you were talking about leading people to Christ. Why don't you lead somebody to Christ?
Heavenly Father, we thank you in the glorious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Lord, that you made it so easy for us to come to you and to be saved. We were all lost, and we all desired to go to heaven, and you made the way. And you made it so plain and simple. You said, if we just accept Jesus Christ and say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I believe you died on the cross to save me from a burning hell. And I accept that forgiveness. And I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. And direct my thoughts. Direct my life. Encourage me, Lord. Put people around me, I pray, that will encourage me in you, Father. In Jesus' name, that I will grow and will grow in you continuously all the days of our life, and we'll spend eternity with you and receive the great rewards that you have for us for being a Christian while we're here. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, that you made it very easy for us to come to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
This is a joint production of Applesauce Kids and Living Word Tabernacle. Remember that there are piles of free downloadable materials at applesaucekids.com.